It's hour number three of Midday with Trey and BK. Coming up at 12:50, we crosstalk it with Rod Babers, live from 7-Eleven up in Round Rock, which is where the Rodcast is broadcasting for today. If not, though, we'll still find something to crosstalk it about. Shooting the bull at 12:30, Austin is finally setting some rules in place for electric scooters. Sadly, throwing them in Town Lake is not amongst the considerations. And in mere minutes, we talk Texas, Longhorn sports, and more with Justin Wells of Inside Texas. I'm Trey Elling. Brad Kellner is across from me. Adam Wagner behind the glass. Text us. The Specs text line is 337-3776. Give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Brad Kellner, at Courtesy Wave, and at Not the Fake Wags. And real quick, before we get to Justin Wells, you can keep the music going if you want to, Wags. Did want to get to a couple of texters who are offering suggestions on their all-time stoner, since this is episode number 420 for this show. Chris Tucker and Ice Cube and Friday, this person says. That is a great call. Woody Harrelson on somebody else's list.
Mm-hmm.
Cheech and or Chong, James Franco and Seth Rogen from Pineapple Express. There are lots of good options here, and clearly you people are picking up the slack where we just flat out forgot about certain things.
Yeah, Franco's a good one.
Yeah, that movie, Pineapple Express, is hilarious. It's one of the best recent stoner movies, no doubt.
That might be one we need to review at some point, because it's been probably 10 years since I've watched that movie.
It's hilarious. Always will be hilarious. Plus Smokey. Did you mention that?
Smokey, yeah, the Chris Tucker character from Friday. Towelie from South Park. The stoned
Don't
towel.
Forget to bring a towel.
But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Hotline. Welcome our buddy back to the show. He is Justin Wells of Inside Texas. Check out his work at InsideTexas.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well, at JustinWells2424. J-Dub, how you doing today, man?
Gentlemen, my favorite Towelie line. I have no idea what's going on.
That's a good one. That is a good one. So on that note, we love starting this interview off now by getting your thoughts on our Wednesday Power Rankings. Today's Wednesday Power Rankings, in honor of this being episode 420 for the Midday Show, is our favorite all-time stoners. Who are some of your all-time favorite stoners?
Well, you guys were talking about stoner movies, and I think that kind of goes along with it really well. I think in my top five, number five would be Matthew McConaughey. Especially, he's a man of the bongos, but we also know him as Wooderson from Dazed and Confused. That's where it all got started. And like he asked his buddy in the car if he had a joint, and it'd be a lot cooler if he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's in the category. Number four is probably going to be Dave Chappelle. You talk about movie stoner movies. If Half Baked isn't in that category, I don't know what would be. That seemed to be a definite classic. Number three is a duo, Cheech and Chong. You got to put them together.
Okay.
I mean, those guys are great. Those movies were great. I really love the first one. It's kind of hard to get through some of the other ones, but that original, Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke, is still a must watch. It's a classic. Number two is going to be Woody Harrelson. Because he told David Letterman one time, I don't smoke pot anymore, and I don't smoke pot any less.
That's a great line.
I think it went in real, I think it was kind of a neat thing. And to top it off, I mean, there's so many people you could choose from. There's a big list, but since this is Austin, Texas, we got to mention the man, the Heisman, Ricky Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of taking that upon his own to branch out, and he's really, making that a big movement in his regard. And I think Texas fans can at least respect that. And so for my top five, that's my group.
All right, Justin, love that list. And you included a couple of people that I'm a little bit upset now that I left off, specifically Woody Harrelson. I think he is a great representative for that culture, even though I'm not sure if he's really done that in movies all that often or not. I know occasionally he touches on it, but he hasn't had that seminal stoner role, at least off the top of my head. All right, Justin, switching over to Texas sports now. We'll start in the world of basketball with the basketball team winning their first round matchup last night in the NIT over South Dakota State. What does this mean for the grand scheme of things with this program, with Shaka Smart's job potentially on the line right now? And if this team goes on a run in the NIT, does it increase the likelihood that he's back here in Austin next year?
I'm not real sure how they end this tournament in the NIT has any bearing on it. One thing I did like last night was all the minutes the young guys had. No matter what happens, in this offseason, next season's guys, the guys that are there, they got a lot of good minutes. And I thought that was pretty notable because I don't remember seeing Roach playing a lot in the second half. I think that was more of shock of, you know, giving these youth, giving them some time. You know, when Roach was out and when Dylan Ossetowski was out, that they went through spurts where, they almost beat Baylor with a great game. They played Tech really tough. And so I like that part of it. You know, if you're looking towards next year, I don't think how they end in the NIT will have any bearing on the future of Shaka Smart at Texas. My opinion of it is it hasn't really changed much. I think Chris Del Conte's taking it a day at a time. I think he's looking at the buyout situation. People don't want to discuss the money part of it, but that's a factor. You know, Del Conte has to answer to people. And if you total everything up, it could be very expensive to let go of Shaka Smart, his buyout, his assistant's buyout. And then when you hire a new coach, he's going to be a good one who's going to have a buyout. And then you're going to have to bring his assistants with him. That gets pretty expensive. Whereas next season, it would probably drop at least a little bit. And so I know that Del Conte's taking this a very judicious way. That being said, I wonder how happy Shaka Smart is in his personal life. I wonder how happy he is being the basketball coach at Texas. And this is something that needs to be talked about because, you know, a lot of times, you know, the first couple of years when Shaka was there, you know, he's such a positive guy. He really is. He really radiates energy and positivity, and that's why I think he is a good basketball coach and maybe not so much a great fit at Texas. That remains to be seen, but I think we pretty much know kind of the score on that regard. I wouldn't be shocked if Shaka took one of these other jobs that like him. We hear that Wake Forest likes him. We hear that, you know, UNLV, you heard yesterday, could possibly like him. There's some schools that think Shaka would be a better fit, maybe in a smaller town, smaller area, maybe on the East Coast where he's from, or where he's coached prevalently. And so I wouldn't be shocked if Shaka decided at the end of the season that, hey, you know, let's negotiate a smaller buyout and I'll just take my chips and go down the road. And if that were the case, then we would be looking for, you know, looking at a Texas men's basketball coaching search. And so there's so many little things that have to happen right now. I don't think Shaka being fired is going to happen. I do think it would have to be picked up from another school. I think the buyout would have to be negotiated. I think it would have to make financial sense. And too many times Texas fans think this university and athletic department has tons of money, and you can throw money at this and you can throw money at that. But like I said earlier, CDC has people to answer for, and it's not always the case in that regard. It may seem that way in football, but when it comes to the other sports, you have to be a little more judicious. And so I don't think the NIT has anything, how they finish has anything to do with what Shaka's future entails. I do think if they make it to the finals and they get to go to New York, I think that's tremendous for the youth of this team because there's some really talented young basketball players on this team. Notably, when you talk about guys like Matt Coleman, Courtney Ramey, Jericho Sims, there's some talent here. Jace Febres, these guys can play. And so I'd like to see them make a run. You know, I'd like to see them kind of get that pride back. But Shaka's future, I think Del Conte in the athletic department is taking it a day by day, and I think there are a number of scenarios that could take place.
The one thing that I have a hard time getting past, Justin, is just how observant Chris Del Conte is, and he has to see what's going on in and around the program right now, not only in terms of the obvious, that is the 500 record that this team finished with this year and not making it to the NCAA tournament for the second time in 3 years, but also the lack of support around the program as well. I'd be shocked if there was much more than 1,000 people in the Irwin Center last night. It was the saddest state of the Irwin Center that I can recall watching on television when Texas basketball was playing a game. Maybe you see that occasionally when the basketball state championships in high school were played there a couple years back, and it was like the 2A game or the 1A game or something like that. But for a Texas basketball game, I've never seen anything like that before. But my question for you, based on Shaka possibly not being happy here, is that a matter of the lack of success, the lack of fan support? Is there something else going on within the athletic department that is why he is a little bit down on this job right now and possibly looking to go elsewhere too?
I really think it just comes down to he's recruited really well since he's been in Austin, and things just haven't worked out the way he had hoped. I know he's tried some different things. He's brought in a new assistant coach in Neil Berry, who actually injected a lot of energy. Did a lot of good things with recruiting, with social media. He actually got Shaka Smart on social media, which was an interesting point. And so I just think things haven't worked out right. A lot of times people don't understand what it means to coach a major sport at the University of Texas. It's a national thing year in and year out. But when you get inside of it and you don't have success, that pressure can kind of start to cave in the walls a little bit. That pressure can change your demeanor. It can make you miserable. It can put you in a bad place. And so I hate it that that's what I'm hearing, that he's just not happy. I hate that because I think Texas has given him basically everything he's needed to have a successful basketball program. Yes, the fans don't always come out. But I do remember in the late 90s, early 2000s, and mid-2000s, rather, when T.J. Ford came through and when Chris Owens came through and when Texas made their Final Four run, and then Aldridge and Booby Gibson and then D.J. Augustine, there were dudes in the stands. You're never going to sell out the Irwin Center. It's a freaking NBA arena, for crying out loud, it looks like. But the fans will come for those big times, those big events, and those big players. And we just haven't seen that. The pictures, you know, we get used to the media tweeting out a picture of the Irwin Center, you know, 15 minutes before tip-off. That becomes like the standard. I think every beat writer is supposed to do that. Last night's was just the worst I've ever seen. And, it was bad. But then again, think about it. It's the NIT. That's not going to get fans excited. Kids are on spring break. They're not even around. That's not going to help out either. And so I just think it's a combination of things. He's been here for over 4 years, and things just haven't worked the way he had hoped. If he returns next year, he returns a good team. He returns some really good talent. He's got a really good, another good signing class coming in. And so there could be some optimism there as well. But I just don't think long-term Shaka's going to be the guy, no matter how they do to finish this year. If he returns, no matter how they do next year, I just don't envision him being the long-term guy. And it's one of those, do you break away now and start to rebuild for the arena in 2 years? Or do you give him another shot, keep him with his contract, save the money, and see what you can get out of that last crop of good basketball players? It's going to be a tough decision for the athletic department and CDC, and I'm glad I don't have to make it.
Jay Wells, let's go over to football right now before we get to the recruiting front, because I know you guys at IT have given a lot of nuggets to subscribers over the past couple of days. Spring practice. You know, it's spring break right now, of course, for the kids, but there's been three practices so far to this point. Any headlines, any position battles, any things that have caught your eyes and ears over 1 week worth of Texas spring practice?
Well, like you said, it's really early. We've only really had one padded practice, but there have been a few things that have stuck out. I was fortunate enough to be there on Friday morning and got to watch some of the team practice. Malcolm Epps looks like a different guy. He signed as a tight end last year, redshirted. I can't remember if he redshirted, but I do know he played a few games. I don't know if it was past the four-game rule. I'm sure Joe Cook, our beat writer, will text me about that soon enough. He looks like a grown man. This guy is taken to the outside receiver spot very well. I'm hearing he's getting better at running routes. He's getting better in his breaks. He's getting better at watching the ball into his hands. Don't forget, Malcolm Epps was a Division I basketball talent. And when you can translate that type of athletic ability onto the football field and find a spot for him, that's good coaching. And I think you have to give Yancey a ton of credit. I think you have to give the offensive staff some credit there. Malcolm Epps looks great. Another guy, Brennan Eagles. Brennan was always just that big possession guy in high school to me. You know, 6'2", 6'3", 220, 230 pounds. Now the guy's starting to go vertical. His speed has gotten better. He's had that 1 year in the system where, you know, that player really makes that jump from freshman to sophomore year. He's becoming a guy that I think Sam Ehlinger and the quarterbacks are going to start looking at to rely on. You know, last year Sam had little Jordan Humphrey and Colin. He could always rely on those two. Little Jordan's gone, but he still has Colin. Well, someone's got to fill in for that spot for little Jordan. I think that's going to be a guy like Brew McCoy, who's already on campus, who does not look like a freshman in high school. He looks like a grown man, not like a kid that should be preparing for his prom next month. Jordan Whittington, I mean, looks like a running back. It's funny, we never mentioned him as a running back until around November, December, and then that state championship game it all became pretty clear. This is a guy Texas likes at tailback. He looks impressive. I like the battles going on at corner because you know what you have in Anthony Cook on the other side. But Kobe Boyce is making big jumps. Deshaun Jameson is making a name for himself at corner. Jalen Green is looking to take that next step. With Brandon Jones out, you're seeing some more of DeMarvion Overshown. You're seeing more of Chris Brown. And then that inside linebacker spot, that Mac spot with Adeoye, I think that's a place where you really want to make sure you've got some depth there because a lot of guys are sitting out the spring because of injury. So we're seeing a lot of this youth get some opportunities. It looks good so far. And the best thing about, I would say, about this opening of spring ball is that it's not a quarterback situation. I can't remember the last time it wasn't a quarterback situation. Coming into this, they know exactly who it is. To me, I think that's half the battle. Keontae Ingram is approaching 220 pounds. That size, that speed, that durability, he is going to be a volume back. Whittington's going to be a factor. Brew McCoy's going to be a factor as a freshman. I think Sam Cosmi takes the left tackle like Connor Williams took the left tackle. So far it's early. There's not a whole lot to glean from it, but you can see bright spots here and there, and that's kind of what's standing out right now.
Well, great stuff there, Justin. It's good to hear that Keontae Ingram is up to 220 pounds. Yep. We need him to stay healthy an entire season because he possesses the ability to be that game-breaking running back.
He's approaching that 220. I'd say he's probably 217, 218, but he knows he not only has to be the number one running back this fall, he knows he has to be a volume guy. If you watched Ingram, he's better in the fourth than he is the first. The more carries he gets, the better he gets. And I think that's only going to help this team because the running back depth chart is a little low. They're missing a few guys. And so and if Kirk Johnson can contribute anything in the fall, I think that is found money. But you're right. Ingram getting bigger is only going to be a blessing for Tim Beck in this offense.
You did a good job of running down the different positions. One area that I am curious about, and this isn't the starting position because thankfully for the first time in a long time, especially if you discount last offseason when we all kind of knew what was going to happen at the position, but it wasn't official until right before the season started, is the quarterback spot. Sam Ehlinger is the obvious starter there, hopefully for the next 2 years. How are things shaping up in terms of his backup right now? What are things looking like for Casey Thompson and also Roshan Johnson?
Well, with Casey, you know, he's going to come in as the backup. He's the incumbent because he's the only other guy on the roster that knows the playbook. He's the only other guy that's been through an offseason with the University of Texas. And Casey's got some abilities. Don't get it twisted. He can throw the ball. He can move out of the pocket when he needs to. He can get, you know, scatter for a few yards on a third down. And so Casey's battling for that backup spot. Roshan Johnson is coming to take it. Roshan Johnson came in with a very mature attitude. I've been told he's an extremely hard worker, incredibly mentally tough. He's taken to the playbook like it's the last rite at the Last Supper. This guy is really, really battling. And this goes back to the 5 a.m. workouts back in January and February. People are really impressed with Deshaun's work ethic. Well, what about his passing? His passings look pretty good. We knew that, you know, it's going to take a year or two of tweaking his mechanics and getting the timing down and everything. But so far, so good for Roshan. This guy is not coming in to redshirt, even though that's probably likely. He's coming in to take the backup spot. That's his goal. And Casey Thompson's standing in front of it. And so, like you said, Texas knows what they have with Sam. But they want to make sure they have somebody capable behind him because I think Sam's been dinged up both of his seasons at Texas. And with his style, hopefully it doesn't happen again. But with his style, you know, he could be dinged up in his junior year as well. You need that capable backup. Shane Buechele was a true luxury. And you've got to make one of those guys, Casey Thompson or Roshan Johnson, a guy that the offense is comfortable with if something happens to Sam. Right now, it looks like Casey will be the backup. I wouldn't be surprised by after the summer and when fall camp comes around if those two are really in a battle for backup spot. I hear so much good stuff about Roshan, and it's no different than what we've been seeing and hearing for 3 years at Port Neches Groves. His coach, Brian Faircloth, told me they run the same exact offense at Port Neches Groves that Herman and Beck run at Texas. Hmm. It's the same thing. The terminology is just slightly different. So Roshan came in kind of with an advantage, and he's taken that advantage, and he wants that backup spot. He wants to be the guy. And it's been fun to getting to see him out there for a couple of days. You know, he's spinning the ball well. And so that backup position is going to be something to watch when we get to August.
Jay Wells, over to recruiting before we let you go. Texas has had a couple of recruits come in to watch the spring practices and guys who have taken visits, and the coaching staff has gone and visited them. I want to ask about one guy in particular, and then I'll just let you kind of have the floor on other recruiting notes that you're willing to share with the people. But Kelly Ringo, the cornerback, one of the top cornerbacks in the class of 2020, he's from Arizona, but that dude has spent more time in Austin in the last 2 weeks than I think I have. That guy was, I think he spent like his entire spring break here last week watching Texas practice. You guys gave some great nuggets that he was decked out in burnt orange, so he seemingly, you know, Texas seemingly in good graces with him. Talk about Ringo for a little bit and any other recruiting nuggets you might have for us.
Well, for starters, we have to, let's be fair to Kelly Ringo, the nation's number one corner without a doubt. He probably doesn't have the vacation time that you get, Kellner. And you can't really, it's just not fair to compare apples to oranges in that regard. But seriously, Kelly Ringo, you know, surprised the coaches on Monday when he came in. His mother's a flight attendant, so he has the ability to, you know, he can sit on standby and you can fly around really cheap. And so Ringo decided he wanted to spend his spring break in Austin, Texas. And that is, it's very similar to last year with the Gabriel Floyd, one of the best linebackers in the country, big time out of California. He kind of has the same feel. We saw Floyd on campus so much in the spring, it felt like he was, you know, a local. Well, Kelly has that same feel. This guy is, and you talk about a ready-made football player. After watching practice on Friday, I find it hard to believe that Kelly Ringo couldn't put on Texas pads right now and compete for a spot. He's that good. He's that legit. And he's got a great attitude with it. He loved the one-on-one with each coach. Tom Herman really took him to the side and talked to him. He's building a tremendous relationship with Jason Washington, who is probably the best recruiter on this staff. He's got some contacts at Segura High School in Arizona. You know, Tim Beck used to coach there. So that's a little help there for the Horns. And their defensive back coach out there is Bryant Westbrook, one of the men of DBU. Huh. And so there's a lot of little things that are helping out Texas in this recruiting. I don't think it's anywhere near over, but I think it's clear, and we wrote this in Monday Scoop, that Texas is probably the silent leader right now. And you're looking for alpha guys at that corner spot, guys that will get on the island, will have short memories, and will play ball. And Kelly Ringo fits that mold. They're going to look at taking two, maybe three corners in this class. And they had another guy come on campus as well on Friday, and that was Keaton Crawford out of John Tyler High School. That's another kid, 6 foot, about 190, real good change of direction, real good speed, real good quickness. Needs some help on his technical side, but most kids his age do. He came on campus for the second time since February, and he's looking like a pretty notable Texas lean as well. And those are two really good corners that I think the staff feels comfortable with. I think they feel like they're in a good spot with those two. But Ringo was really the big name. You get that guy on campus, I mean, he'll be as popular as one of the Beatles by the time he's done in Austin, just because this guy is, he is the total package in a spread heavy college game. He is the total package at cornerback. A couple other guys, let's say the Duncanville trio, we'll call them that. Chris Thompson, Jaquindon Jackson, and Kendall Blackshire. They all showed up on Friday for visit to see practice, to check out the facilities. I know that I talked to Thompson. He wanted to get some interaction with Nivar. He wanted to see how he coaches. He wanted to see how the players react to it. They've got a great relationship. Texas looks outstanding in that recruitment. Jaquindon Jackson might be a quarterback. He might also be an H-back, and he might also be a linebacker. I know what he is. He's a tremendous athlete that you recruit all the way through, and you figure out where his spot is once he gets on campus. Texas looks good in that recruitment early. And then Kendall Blackshire was a former linebacker that's now a defensive lineman. We've known Kendall for a couple of years, and so you've kind of seen the transformation. He's got the disposition for defensive line. He's got some nasty Puna Ford to him. And he's a kid that's highly recruited and holds a Texas offer. So getting that trio from Duncanville on campus, I think, was outstanding. I know Coach Samples came down to see practice as well, and there's good vibes there with him and the staff. And so Texas not only used their first week of spring practice to kind of get everybody on the same page and then get some guys in pads and start working on things, they brought in some of the best recruits that are really looking at Texas hard. Got to see them for a few days, got the interaction with those guys. It seems to be the recipe for Tom Herman. Recruit them hard, build the relationships, coach them hard, and go from there. And when you sign back-to-back top three classes, you're going to start getting those national guys. They're already getting those national guys. You're going to start really getting those big names. And so when the spring break is over, I expect more recruits to be on campus for the next few weeks. And then that spring game on April 13th is going to be a big deal, and not just because Ludacris is going to be there. There should be some big names on campus for that as well. And so the vibes are still good in Austin. The momentum is still there from the Sugar Bowl. The early commits they've got for this 2020 class are still looking solid. And one final note, Mookie Cooper, you know, committed a month ago, a month and a half ago, decided he wanted to back off a little bit. He decommitted and kind of wanted to take his time a little bit more. Don't be shocked if Texas winds up being the spot for Mookie Cooper. Sometimes kids get, you know, a little out in front of their skis. With Mookie, I think that's kind of what the situation was. Texas is still recruiting him just like they did before he committed. They still have him as a key target. This is a guy that you want on your team in space. He's unstoppable. And so don't be shocked if Mookie Cooper finds his way back in Austin and potentially finds his way in this 2020 class.
Well, we'd love to get Mookie Cooper back in the fold, considering what he can do in that slot position. He is Justin Wells. Check out his work at InsideTexas.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well, at JustinWells2424. Thanks, as always, for the time, brother. We'll talk to you in a week.
Thanks, Jay Wells.
Nothing but love, gentlemen.
You too, man. You too. Enjoy. It's not 420 for anybody else. I can't really say that yet. In a month, I'll be able to say that to everybody else, but just our episode 420. Thanks to Justin. That's great stuff, man. Inside Texas. If you're looking for more, go to that website, subscribe, become a member today. It is well worth your investment, we promise. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will shoot the bull. I'll tell you all the stories that the Austin American Statesman allows me to read without going through my paywall. And that's about the best tease I have for you people right now until the commercial break is done. Shooting the bull next, Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn.
Hiya, hiya, baby. Can you feel it, feel it, feel it, feel it? Do you feel the same way that I do? I'm so high. We can make it feel that way. Right. Roll more, let's smoke. Yeah. I got to get high. I've been high since the last song.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. Thanks again to Justin Wells for joining the program. Interesting to hear that. Could be a mutual parting of ways when it's all said and done between Texas basketball and Shaka Smart. Clearly, Chris Del Conte has to see what's going on with the program right now, the lack of support as well. And according to Justin, there is also the possibility of Shaka not being very happy here and looking for a way out as well. So we'll see how all of that plays out here in the next 2 to 3 weeks or so. Hey, you can skip work tomorrow to come watch the first day of March Madness, the first true day of March Madness, the Thursday games of Round 1 with the Horn at Twin Peaks Round Rock. It's I-35 and the 45 Toll Road. We're going to be there from 10 a.m. when the midday show starts broadcasting all the way through Chad and Kevin. Rod Babers will be doing his show from there as well, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. with the Horn out at Twin Peaks Round Rock, watching Day 1 of March Madness.
Yes, looking forward to that. A lot of the shows will be out there tomorrow, and yes, the madness does start. Even if you can't join us, take off of work tomorrow, please. Or if you do have to go to work, like, bring an extra screen, bring an extra laptop, bring the tablet from home. Make sure you can watch these games. You deserve it. These are like two work days of the year that you just really need to watch sports on.
These next 2 days are when it is crucial to have the proper applications and Wi-Fi connection on the phone, because the phone always comes into play for me on the Thursday and Friday.
No doubt about that. All right, we've got bits to get to on this Wednesday edition of the Midday program. It's time to shoot the bull.
Shooting the bull.
Shooting the Bull, sponsored by Audiovisual Consultations. BK?
Yes, sir. 255-8678, the phone number to call. And get out to the Texas Stars game tonight. TexasStars.com. Get you some tickets to Winning Wednesday. When you get out there to cheer the Stars on to victory, make sure you buy some 50-50 raffle tickets as well.
It's a great thing that they do with the Texas Stars. Of course, the Texas Stars Foundation was helped founded by Audiovisual Consultations. Our man Tom McKay, they partnered to raise more than $1 million for Central Texas charities over the past few years. TexasStars.com and AVConsultations.com, Trey.
All right, BK, so scooters have pretty much been in the news daily here in this town since they first hit the streets about a year ago. And you and I are on board with, well, people throwing the scooters into Town Lake if they feel so inclined.
Yes.
They are a nuisance on sidewalks and roadways and kind of just litter whenever people aren't using them. They're just strewn about all over the place. They'll be in the middle of sidewalks at times or perhaps to the side, but it really is motorized garbage in our opinions. And finally, the city of Austin may be acting to create some rules for those who choose to use the electric scooters. They are meeting next week, March 28th, so a week from tomorrow, to figure out some regulations for scooters, bikes, and skateboards that could all fall under the category of micro-mobility devices and subject to certain regulations. Scooters and other micro-mobility devices, riders could have to dismount on the highest pedestrian traffic sidewalks throughout Austin, and that includes a lot of downtown Austin as well, which is the first thing that needs to happen. And I'm saying this as somebody who was walking around downtown all last week covering South by Southwest, and a lot of people were abiding by that as well, realizing they're better off on the streets. They need to be on the streets much like bicycles are with crowded walkways.
Yeah, I think that was a rule for South by Southwest, right? That just was the thing. You weren't allowed to ride those scooters on the sidewalks downtown for South by.
There may have been some places you couldn't, but I still saw plenty of times. And fortunately, people were being smart about it, and they were either using their foot to propel themselves. They weren't using the electric version of the scooter, or they were getting off and just walking with the scooter. But that will now be required on sidewalks at all times in certain places.
Yeah, that makes sense. Should be like a bicycle to where you have to ride it in the bike lanes or on the street. I think it's safer there. I mean, we've already seen stories where cars run into those things and take lives, but it's probably safer than just having pedestrians walking around them all the time.
This seems like an obvious one as well, but scooters will be required to follow the same traffic laws that cyclists do, and that includes prohibiting the use of mobile devices while you're riding a scooter. I don't even know how you can do the mobile device while you're riding a scooter, but apparently enough people do.
Oh, yeah, and on bikes. I've seen it plenty of times.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Scooter riders would not be able to lane split and also would be required to ride in the same direction as traffic. So if they're on the right side of the road, they can't be going against the grain of traffic. They have to be going with traffic.
Okay.
And also, riders under 18 years old would be required to wear a helmet. And currently, I guess, skateboarders under 18 don't have to wear a helmet. They would also be required to wear a helmet under new legislation.
If you're under 18?
Under 18.
Ah, no one's going to do that. Like a nerd riding around in the e-scooter with a helmet. That's a joke. That's not going to happen.
Speaking of electric scooters, as it pertains to injuries, we now have another death in the world of electric scooter riders. This one isn't in Texas, but a Georgia man visiting California.
Oh, he went by scooter?
Sadly died on Friday after he crashed his rented electric scooter into a tree in San Diego, marking the city's first such fatality.
Ran into a tree?
Christopher Conti suffered serious head injuries last week when he lost control on the scooter while making a turn and collided into a tree. He was not wearing a helmet. And sadly, the 53-year-old Conti is no longer alive as a byproduct.
Chris Conti, the safety, the former Bears and Bucks safety.
Now that is closer.
I think he's a free agent.
Hasn't he been a free agent for like 3 years now?
Nah, he played. He got stiff-armed real bad one time. Ooh. I think that kind of ended his career.
Yeah, Bears fans did not like him very much.
No. All right, it is episode 420, so I have to give you a weed-related story.
Please do.
Trey in DeSoto County, Mississippi. 78-year-old Lucian Angelo was shot and killed by his neighbor, James Newman, aged 69. The court of law has ruled this self-defense shooting. An investigation by the police department said that the two started arguing over a missing gas cap
that Newman accused Angelo of stealing from a weed eater. There's your weed tie-in there. So these two guys, these two neighbors, who apparently were great friends, according to every other person in the neighborhood, they got into it over a missing gas cap. Apparently, the guy who died, Lucy and Angelo, actually offered to write a check for the cost of the missing gas cap to the other cat. But that wasn't good enough. He got shot. And once again, self-defense was found to be the reason in the court of law, so this thing must have really escalated to the point where Newman had to shoot Angelo.
My gosh.
69-year-old shot a 78-year-old over a gas cap for a weed eater. Not even the weed eater itself, which is still ridiculous. Right, the old neighbor bit. Your neighbor gets mad if you borrow tools and you don't return it. This is just the gas cap. The guy offered to write a check to pay it back. And that still wasn't good enough.
What state? I'm sorry, what state?
This is Mississippi. DeSoto County, Mississippi. So rest in peace with San Angelo. That's a tough way to go right there.
That is not good. Guys, it's not worth it. Not worth the loss of life or a gas cap.
Not at all. All right, we will take a break. I got one more story on the other side. We'll do a little crosstalk with Rod Babers as well and wrap things up. It's Wednesday. It's midday with Trey and BK on the Horn. Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. It's time to crosstalk. The segment is sponsored by a place that my family absolutely loves, Emler Swim School. Did you know your baby can hold his or her breath underwater? They can. Emler will teach them how and other potential life-saving skills in and around the water. My kids have been attending weekly classes at Emler since they were 6 months old. We love the teachers, and we love going to the neighborhood pool as a family during the warmer months. Summer will be here before you know it. Whether your child is the last one wearing floaties or you want to get a head start on teaching your infant those water safety skills, sign up for a class now. Emler offers prorated pricing no matter when you choose to enroll during the semester. They accept students as young as 6 months and even offer free classes for babies younger than that. They have 5 locations in North and South Austin. My family goes to the beautiful new spot in Cedar Park at 1431 and the 183 Toll Road. To learn more or find a location near you, go to emlerswimschool.com. Emler, providing safety with a splash of love. A splash of love.
Rod Babers is live.
Oh, that's what's going on.
From 7-Eleven right
like,
now.
Why am I hearing an echo right now? What are we doing here?
At a grand opening of a 7-Eleven at La Frontera Boulevard in Round Rock. You can check them out there today from 1 to 3. And there's also a crazy deal going on with 7-Eleven fresh sandwiches right now, too. Rod, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I'm here amongst the people hanging out here at La Frontera. It's 2801 La Frontera Boulevard is the exact address, if you want to know. But I'm looking at the 45 Toll Road right in front of me. So we're right there at that intersection. If you want to come out to the grand opening of this brand new 7-Eleven, still got the new 7-Eleven smell. It's nice. And, of course, they always got a special for the people. If you can download the 7 Rewards app, which I do have on my phone, you actually have a chance to enjoy all week long the fresh sandwiches, for only $1 here at 7-Eleven. Any registered member of 7 Rewards will get any fresh sandwich for $1 all week long. All right, can't beat that. Nice. Only $3.99 is better than $1.
Yeah.
And I know BK loves cheap sandwiches and cheap food, and Rod, this is cheap, good food.
I might have you buy like 10 of those for me and bring them to the studio. can we make that happen, man?
No doubt. I already understand, man. I know your philosophy. I know your mentality, man. You're all about getting it in. You're a ball on the budget like me.
Yes, sir. Hey, how's the bracket coming, Rod? You got a little less than 24 hours to turn this thing in. How you feeling about your sheet of integrity?
I know, I treat my bracket like a lot of my exams in college. You know, I like to wait to the last minute, you know, wait to the midnight hour before I got to fill it out. So I got to the morning, I believe, right, is the cutoff for the Horn Bracket Challenge. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to stay up late, do some research. I'm going to get on the grind late night, and then I'll have it filled out probably before Bucky and Aaron come on in the morning. I'll have it filled out before then.
You have any thoughts on a national champion right now, or are you still waiting on that one too?
Like I told you, I approach it like I do my exams in college.
Man.
It's like asking me, you know what I mean? You're going to ask me.
Well, you're going to sleep through it? You sleep through your college exams? You're going to sleep through the submission time?
Do I have the answers to the test before I cram? No, I don't. I'm about to cram in my cram session. All right, we'll see how good I do in the bracket of my cram session here. I was an historically great crammer before these tests.
Oh, man.
But it all depends on what your standard is of a great crammer.
Love
it. As long as it was in the B to C range, that means a great crammer.
C's and D's get degrees, baby. That's all you need.
There you go.
That's all you need. You all right, go out and visit Rod, man. La Frontera, the new 7-Eleven out there. Still got that new 7-Eleven smell. You can't beat that. Thanks to Justin Wells for joining us. Thanks to all of you for texting and listening throughout the program and through the last 419 other episodes of the award-winning Midday with Trey and BK. But we're out of time for the Fantasy Sports Guru, the Marine, Adam Wagner across the glass. Thank you for your service to this country and this show. For the Sultan of Cynicism, the Vomit King, Trey Elling across the table, I am BK, and we will be back to get a pop at the same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.